What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. But a chance of fall, chance of showers into the afternoon, with variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around the corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connection's Sunday night edition. It is. Today's date is the 16th of September, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Sunday, and it's 2007. Wonderful to have you here with me tonight. Got a rant for you. Got a lot of information I'd like to share with you about what we've been doing on the website, the things we're trying to get put some effort into having happen. Explain a little bit of what we have coming up on the French Connection's research side of things. And in general, just explain to you a new approach to some of this information. We're going to try, let me tell you what I've been thinking lately, and so you can understand. I've looked at this stuff on the internet, and we've solved the conspiracy. We know that Israel and its agents and people within our government controlled by those same forces, and ultimately going back to the financial controllers of the planet. Well, they're not just financial anymore. They control almost every corporation on the planet. But the big cheese is around. There's about 300 families or 300 groups of them. And then, of course, their henchmen lower, and then they're bought and paid for politicians, and their criminal extorted henchmen and politicians in our government and the French government and the British government are doing their bidding for them. But we've shown the world the truth. We know about Silverstein's properties, and we know about Worms' participation, and Ladeen, and Dov Zollkheim over at the Pentagon, and Faith over there, and Scooter Libby's connections to the vice president, and Ari Fleischer's rabbi status, and, Ronald Lauder from Estee Lauder Fortune's participation in getting the building sold, and Mr. Silverstein being a pornographer and a strip club owner and a friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, and we know about the documents that led up to it. We've done all of it. It's been repeated and ad nauseum and infinitum. We know the story. Everyone's talking about it today. Funny that when we first started saying these things here on the French Connection, people called us crazy. There were a few websites out there that were helping to promote some of the same information in kind of, well, maybe not, it wasn't the same information, but it was similar. And, but the rest of the groups were still saying we're crazy. Now everybody's beginning to accept the fact that these are the criminals. And what I've decided to do is to try to educate you on the history of these criminals. How did they get to be so powerful? What's the chain of evidence that goes back in time and proves that this is the group that we all should be fearing and all should be fighting? And there is a huge body of evidence and information about how these people did what they've done and how long they've been doing it and the consequences of their actions. Now, I've told you on the French Connection before that that the Morgenthau, Brandeis, and others, including Baruch over in New York City and others, at the urgings of Schiff, one of the original owners of the Federal Reserve, sent $20 million over to Russia with 4,000 Zionist Jews in tow on a boat with weapons and everything, and took over the Russian Revolution, which they had spawned. It was one of the earth-shaking changes that they were getting pushed through during that First World War. Now, you have to understand, too, that they had just got done imploding the Ottomans at the same time. And there were Jabotinskys involved in this, and the Bolsheviks would change hats and go down into Turkey and become young Turks. And there's a guy named Carasso that was involved in both places, and a lot of different people that you can actually see were actually ferrying monies and information between these two national and international implosions between Turkey and Russia. So what's the point of all this? It actually goes back before that, ladies and gentlemen. They, these same people, these same forces, these same criminals are responsible for killing the King of France and stealing the French Republic, or stealing the French state from him, instituting a precursor to communist rule, murdering the intellectuals, as they have done in every country they ever take over, and stand by for that if they ever get their full control of the United States. I mean, on the ground, that is. They control the levers of power, but if they get control on the ground, you're going to start watching intellectuals and people with any kind of a capacity to think just, you know, dying. They're going to kill them. I mean, they've done it in every nation. That's how they purged China of all its thought criminals. Anybody who was against the collectivity of the Chinese experiment were killed. But you see the same thing happened in Russia. The intellectuals have been murdered in almost every nation that these people have exercised their criminal control. Now, the French Revolution, again, was one of their success stories. And someone who wrote about it is who we've been featuring at the top of the website. Her name is Nesta Webster. Now, Miss Webster was not born Webster. She married a very powerful person in the British Raj. He was a British government worker who was I think he was the Governor General of India. So she came from very, very good beginnings here. She had a wonderful education, and she put a lot of her effort into finding out the truth about history. And what she discovered shocked her. And what shocked her even more, as you can see the writing of Nesta Webster on the top of the website, what shocked her more was the response she got when she pointed it out. This really shocked her. Because the people involved in this stuff, in her mind, were not friends of the British aristocracy. Nor did it seem to her they should be friends of the British government. But yet, some of her most vicious attackers came from the quarters that she thought would be in support of her evidence. And she worked her way through the French Revolution book and found out that it was not, in fact, the Sephardic community in France that was supporting this, but rather a group of Ashkenazi moneylenders. Yep. And they helped finance the Jacobins, and they also helped to finance other splinter organizations, but they had already fully infiltrated the Masonic Lodges and the Grand Orient Lodge in Paris. They were very instrumental in finding and then funding Napoleon Bonaparte. And what they did was they were working, they had a two-pronged attack on society. One, to get rid of the influence of the church, which not only did they get rid of the adherence to the church's doctrine, but they also started destroying the infrastructure for benevolence in the society. The church became marginalized. Their charity work became problematic. And what we saw in France for 100 years after Napoleon was a series of poverty-stricken events that were just absolutely horrendous. Victor Hugo writes about them. They were also written about by Charles Dickens, because the same types of poverties were being visited upon the British at the time as well. A callousness was born out of these financial implosions and these financial responsibilities that both the government of Britain and France had taken upon themselves in the wars that they fought and the debt that they owed to these Ashkenazi Jewish bankers. And when Nesta Webster dug it out, she got roundly assaulted verbally, and both in the press and to this day is claimed to be an anti-Semite, which is, that is a nonsense, ladies and gentlemen, as incredible as anybody, you know, they just run around throwing this term on people. Any historian that digs up any fact about anything becomes a anti-Semite. Yeah. But she was so shocked by the behind-the-scenes control of the French society that she started doing investigative work on what these organizations that actually controlled the French society were doing and how they became what they were. And she did this. She took from their own members first-hand accounts to write her books, their own documents to prove her points. There, most of the work that Nesta Webster did came from the criminals themselves. Not very different than we've done in the 1930 speech of Untermeyer in front of the Jewish Congress group that he was speaking in front of, in order to prove that the implosion of Germany and the subsequent destruction of its economy was actually done by them intentionally, by international Jewry, as it was called at the time. But I call them Ashkenazi Zionist Jews. Now, is it hateful to say these things? Absolutely not. No more than it would be to say that the La Cosa Nostra is a terrible criminal organization of Italian mobsters and mafioso. Now, that would be an accurate statement to make about Italians, and it certainly would not imply that all Italians are part of that criminal gang. However, in the same breath, if we make these charges against the elements of criminality within the Jewish community, we're immediately labeled anti-Semitic. You're going to find this same situation over and over and over again as you try to dig your way through these facts. And it was even the same kinds of responses that Nesta Webster received back when she was trying to dig out these things. Now, interesting what Nesta Webster says about Marxism and about how this plan of collectivity and destruction of religious cohesiveness and community were actually part of a plan. Now, some of these crazy things that happened in the French Revolution really resembled what happened later in Russia, as I said. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the game plan that they're working off of, the dance card that these people are dancing to here, is a time-tested formula for domination. And by the looks of things around us, they almost have done it. And if we are not able to bring people up to speed on how it's been done and what has been done to date, and what we think they're going to do next, then they may just succeed. I have told you before that it looks like they're certainly on the ropes with all these facts. They are having a terrible time keeping a lid on the truth coming out. The technology of the internet has surprised this criminal organization, and aside from their ability to do this, they almost can't stop it as it starts to unfold against them. You know, it's amazing that this is happening like this for them. So I couldn't be happier. What we've got is she goes back in time, and I want to talk a little bit about Nesta Webster's ability to bring out facts. She really writes easy to understand prose, but also cites her work. She places before you all the areas of information you need to know and then tells you how she found it. So in that regard, she is doing scholarly work. But again, she writes in a format that you can read easily, quite an easy-to-read storyteller. She discusses at length the tradition of secret societies and how far back she could go to find them, and how many of these secret societies and things had ties to Kabbalism, the Kabbalah, and to sects of Judaism. She discusses the how that was the truth against Islam back. She's wait till you read that. This is part of the past. How the Templars were involved with the Kabbalah, and how the Rosicrucians were not, in as far as she could see. There were some overlapping of Rosicrucians, but for the most part, she could not find it. The trashing of Jesus amongst these groups was one of the goals that always came out over and over again. Talks about the origins of Freemasonry and how certain sects and groups of Freemasons were controlled by these same people. The Grand Lodge they talk about, which is the Parisian Grand Lodge, which again we talked about with Mohammed Rafig, how the Grand Lodge went out and propagated its power and itself into Italy and then ultimately over into Turkey, spawning the Young Turk movement and the overthrow of the Caliph and ultimately the Armenian massacre, ladies and gentlemen. These are the documents, the historical threads that one needs to connect these dots. She talks again about the Kabbalists and what is the form of Kabbalism. The Laurian Kabbalah is the one that most worried her and the one that she found was brought right up to date, up to day, still being used. But she also found similar types of belief systems that stretched back all the way to ancient Babylon, which you've heard before, the Babylonian Talmud. But the different virulent forms of this literature, the Talmud, it started out actually as an oral tradition. It was something the rabbis taught their leadership and ultimately would discuss with certain elements of it with their synagogue members. Now, there was always an us and them element to the teaching of these Kabbalists. In fact, the Kabbalah is off limits, supposedly, to any non-Jew. However, we've got criminal turncoats such as Madonna over and a guy named, what's his name, from the 70s show over there, and Demi Moore is over in Israel right now. And lo and behold, the person, Eric and myself, we identified as a shill. Rosie O'Donnell is over representing the Kabbalah in Israel. Isn't that a shocker? Yeah, right again, huh? Right again. Alex Jones promoting her, all these people promoting her. We knew this woman had a problem. We knew it. Yep. But anyway, I digress. Let's go back to the Bavarian Illuminati and how Weishaupt put together this Illuminati and how it had elements within the New Bohemians were in there, and how these Frankist and ultimately turning into Jabotinsky supporting Ashkenazi Jews in Northern Europe and Germany and Poland and parts of France as well as Belgium and Holland, used their networking, used their riches, used their power, used their control to stamp out resistance in their own community, Jews that were not going along with their attempts at subverting the governments where they lived, ultimately ended up in World War II being sent into death camps, because what better way to manipulate the sympathies of the world and then get rid of your own internal problems than to foment a schism, as it were, between the German people and the Jews, and then have the Germans get rid of your own opponents within your own community, which is exactly what happened. And yes, many, many Jews were sent off to work camps. Many others were gotten rid of. And it was, by and large, people who were not signing on to the Zionist criminal agenda. Now, of course, we've talked at length about the Balfour signings and whatnot. This is also the elements of exerting the power of these people in history. We don't talk about any of these things in your classroom. Isn't that interesting? That these facts, these informations are missing from everyone's education, and yet the stuff we read in our classrooms are lies. They push you into the wrong direction. They put smoke screens in front of you. They tell you that the reason for this and the reason for that have nothing to do with reality in many cases, or were minor reasons for the events rather than the principal reasons. And then ultimately in this book that Nestor writes, and this is a powerful read, ladies and gentlemen, easy to go through, powerful read, talks about modern Freemasonry and secret societies in England and open subversive movements. And talks about the final chapter is called The Real Jewish Peril. She also talks about the Jewish evidence of, on the Talmud and the protocols. Now, of course, you know, as well as I do, the criminal Jewish community, or the Zionist criminals, have a long time denied the validity of the Elders of Zion documents. Well, a courtroom in Switzerland deemed them a forgery and said that, in fact, the probability is that they are actual copies of an original document. Yep. And that had nothing to do with being frauds. And as a result, ladies and gentlemen, these documents point to a blueprint, if you will, for this supremacy. Now, when modern media came along, these people seized the opportunity to take full advantage of it. The modern media allowed them, and then if you go back into listening to what Thomas Edison says, his invention of the moving picture was stolen without paying for patent, ran out to the West Coast, and films were made, and stuff was made with his patented equipment. Well, he also was known to have taken a few other people's patents. But Thomas Edison's stuff was taken out to the West Coast and used without his approval. And because this community of criminals in the United States knew right away that this type of informational control, or these moving pictures at the time as what they were called, were going to have a powerful effect on the way people thought. And you saw that they ensconced themselves immediately in this Hollywood experience and began to monopolize it. And as others tried to infiltrate their business model out in Hollywood, they were marginalized, murdered, bought out, or scared off. And this criminal group took control of a powerful media source and began to use it to manipulate the emotions and the thinking of the general public in the United States, and then ultimately here in Europe as well. The brothers Frère over here are the actual inventors of the moving picture, and Thomas Edison actually invented a different process for that event. You always think that he invented moving pictures. It was actually a French, two French brothers in Lyon, I believe they lived. But the fact of the matter is that they realized right away that this new medium was going to be an important source of control for them and propaganda. At the same time, they had already made inroads into Supreme Court with this criminal appointment of Brandeis through Wilson's peccadilloes. They also forced that man over to Europe, trying to get their first attempt at consolidation of the world under a League of Nations. But what you also found was that Wilson is the one who signed off on the events of the Federal Reserve, which was really the last free day America has known. So that's going on, 95 years ago. We were no longer free after that date. We were indentured servants of criminal Zionism after that date. And so you could already see their influences, but what we don't see is that this same group had these same types of influences and had already exerted them earlier than in America, in Britain. And that the French had already succumbed to their criminality back at the turn of the 17th to the 18th century time period just in advance of Napoleon and then afterward. And we know that the German experience has just been one criminal puppet regime after another, and one need look no further than the present government you've got there under Merkel. This woman makes me want to throw up just watching the actions she takes and the things she does. She is the most horrific leader Germany has ever known, and bar none. Why? Because in face of all the criminality that has been lumped upon the German public, this person would come back and still work for the same criminals who've done all of those horrible things to the Germans. So that kind of thing makes her even more of a monster than her predecessors, because what one would think is any real German would never want to revisit any of those horrors, and yet the same kind of criminal megalomaniac is now employed by the German Republic. Painful, that. And of course, here in France, we've got our own midget madman, a Zionist Jew named Sarkozy, who is going to place this country at risk, and already has begun doing that. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I expect him to begin harassing me quite soon, because he's just made a real large speech in Israel recently, saying he's going to combat anti-Semitism in his home country. So I'm sure he's going to be targeting me soon. I hope that you listeners will make that a very expensive decision on his part. If he can't get me through direct means, he'll probably send people here to dig through my rubbish, or trying to sue me or jail me for taxes or whatever, which will be a nonsense. It'll be a distraction. But if it does come to pass, I hope I can count on your support against those charges. But anyway, I digress. Let's go back to Nesta. Nesta Webster, an interesting name, by the way, Nesta Webster. I haven't heard anybody named Nesta, so she covets an important place in my thinking. Just her name alone is powerful and unique. The Kabbalah, again, going back to the Kabbalah, there were actual Christian Kabbalists in the Middle Ages and coming out of the Dark Ages. Now, many of these people believed in the booga booga of magic, and stuff. Many of them still do, even in this modern world. But they were using the esoteric practice of Kabbalah even within Christian mainstream church structure. As you know, it has always been permitted somehow for Jews to enter Christianity unmolested, because Christianity is a proselytizing religion. Judaism, once you've joined it, you have to have it given to you, passed down through family. They did, however, make an exception to that back in the 7th century, 780, when the Kagan of the Khazarian king, Kagan, being pressured from two fronts, one from the Christians west and the Muslims south, and the trade routes from Russia coming down and the Orthodox Church having influence, decided in order to keep himself as a middleman between all these people, would choose a religion not of the one or the other, neither Muslim faith, Islam faith, or Christian faith, and thereby would not become the front line in fights. It was there that this Zionist criminal enterprise was born. They were always known to be ruthless people, even back in the days of their Khazarian ancestors. They come from the steppes of Russia and from the Georgian region north of. They always hated the Armenians, because the Armenians were a holdout Christian sect, one of the oldest in the world. You'll notice that the revenge they took upon them was merciless and incredible. But all of these things that we talk about will come into focus for you as you read through Nesta Webster's work. I do recommend you to read both the books that she wrote on the French Revolution, because it really does give you an insight into how these people operated. And she tells you clearly that the roots of communism and this worldwide attempt at focusing all power into the hands of the state, while the state is being controlled clandestinely by these same people, has been in play for centuries. And it gives the idea to the plebiscite or to the public that they are actually working for the greater good. This is what this has always been about, duping you into thinking what you're doing is for the greater good. Well, what we're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen, is it has nothing to do with the greater good. And so, Nesta Webster is the recommendation for the week, and there will be information that I discuss on each file about the book. I'm going to bring it up throughout the next week or so, little parts of it. I'll read some parts of it to you. We'll discuss some parts of it, my take on certain things. I want you to read this particular book and send me emails, questions you might have that you might want me to address about what she wrote, and I will do that. This is going to be an education about the history of criminal Zionism and how, through the centuries, it has found its way to becoming almost the only power on the planet. The fighting back is coming, ladies and gentlemen, by a fluke in history. Something I always learned back when I was studying my master's in business, they told me one time that the only thing that can trump a monopoly is technology. It's the ace that no one knows is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And again, technology has aced a criminal network. They're desperate to stop the use of the internet. They have employed massive amounts of disinformation and criminal disinformation experts in the amount of billions. Take a look at the expenditure of the American government alone on fraudulent news and information. Just take a look at it. And when we tell you that most of the people out there trying to stop us are actual criminals, you'll start to understand just by the amount of money that has been thrown at this attempt they're making at stopping us. It's not working, because the truth is much mightier a sword than deception and lies. And once you see through the deception, you cannot be re-indoctrinated to their lie. I've said it before, I'll say it again, it'll make you laugh. Once you've become a pickle, ladies and gentlemen, you can never, ever again be a cucumber. And once you have seen the facts, the truth, the honest events as they really are in this world, not only do you become bowled over by the enormity of this and the longevity of the conspiracy, but the fact that you didn't see it shocks you. And now that you do see it, you see it everywhere. You see it in Hollywood movies. You see it in the scripts and the television shows, in the food systems, in our drug companies, and you see it in the music industry. You see it everywhere you go, and then all of a sudden you just start saying to yourself, "Holy Toledo, is there a place in this society they have not ensconced themselves?" Well, I'm here to tell you, no, there isn't. We are fighting back. We're coming. We're coming hard. And of course, trying to place myself in a educational position here now, because again, I'm going to restate it. We know what they did. We know who did it. And of course, if we're going to ever bring the world bring this conspiracy into focus for the general public, for the mainstream, we're going to have to educate them on how we got here. Because the first thing people will say, "Oh, it's impossible. Huh? Why isn't it in my history class? Why didn't I learn about that in seventh grade, eighth grade? Why did a professor named Darlene Levy lie to me when I was taking a French Revolution class back in university? Why did this woman write 9 books and none of them talk about the money lenders who were behind the revolution? Is it coincidence that she is a Harvard graduate and works as a tenured professor at one of the top universities in the country and writes books that don't bring in the facts about this stuff? I wish I knew about Nesta Webster when I was sitting in front of this arrogant sack of goo, this lady. I there was the worst professor I ever had in college, this woman. And I remember thinking to myself, what a horrible person to have to sit through a class with. And I did. I sat through the whole semester. It was like going to the dentist every time I went to the class. In fact, she would read right out of her book, in one of her books anyway. But the facts are that she never brought up any of this truth. I wish I would have been able to bring Nesta Webster's information in and start putting that in her face. Boy, that would have curled her hair. Anyway, that's just a kind of a, I digress. And I took that class thinking it would be interesting. And it was awful. It was like going to the dentist. I still remember it, though. I still remember it. But anyway, we talk about some of the destructions of our moral fiber, too, coming in on the heels of these political upheavals came people like Freud and Jung and this Austrian Jewish inspired existentialism and the Schopenhauers and the Nietzsches and the Immanuel Kant, even the Jean-Paul Sartre and his musings about nihilism and the different emptiness humans feel and the disassociation from God and from each other and it was a perversion of the human experience. It really was. And they have exercised this front and center view in our educational system and in our press for so long that people began to believe that the sicknesses being explained to us were actually our plight. And now, 100 years plus, 200 years plus on, it actually has become our plight, ladies and gentlemen. Vulgarity is the rule. Sickness is our aim. Even in the arts, can you imagine? I went to the Guggenheim Museum in New York about 15 years back, and I looked at the walls and I said, this is the biggest sack of trash I have ever looked at in my life. Who in their right mind would ever deem this art? Lo and behold, the same forces are behind it. They've perverted the quality of art. They've perverted the expression of it. There was one experience, one thing. One guy, a famous artist being supported by Zionists, said that he was going to can his own feces and then sell it as a art object. And he said that I am so famous that people will buy it. So he did this, canned it, and put a price tag of $5,000 on every can, and he sold them all out the first day. Canned poop. Yep. This is where the Mapplethorpes of the world have come into being. And this is where the sicknesses that have emanated from the art world of late have come in. They don't any longer look for qualitative beauty or the best expressions of human dignity and love and honesty. Now, granted, art should be free moving, and you should be able to experience anything you want. But what we have done here, ladies and gentlemen, is almost exclusively moved into the sickness side and completely turned away from the rest. You know, I remember Otto Dix's stuff coming out after the World War I, which is actually another Zionist-inspired conflict, and the horror of it all. And, of course, that was art that was expressing feelings of revulsion at the horrors of war. But what happened when we moved into other areas of Dada art and all the rest of this stuff and, putting a toilet seat on a wall and saying that this is art? Canned poop for $5,000. If you look behind it, every single instance, it's motivated and supported by Zionist Jewish money. 100%. Yep. They're behind pornography, child sex slavery, drug production, ecstasy, methamphetamine, what else? Everything you can think of. It's now, again, they're also behind the criminalization of drugs, which is interesting because they provide the drugs and then they promote the idea that it's criminal to use them rather than having it be a health issue, which it should be. And the countries that have approached the drug problem as a health issue have found great success in weaning their public off of drugs and limiting the amount of prisons they have to build and incarcerations they have to do. But in America, what we've done is we've incarcerated our criminalized drug users that they actually spawned. Mm-hmm. Oh, you couldn't make it up, could you? You just couldn't. Anyway, as for me, personally, what's been happening with this this website? Well, we're trying some new formats. We're looking into new front page stuff. I like the idea of putting together this historical look at the rise of Zionism and how it got to be where it is. Certainly, I'm going to leave lots of things out, and I'm certain to answer a lot of questions from you listeners that may not completely fill the story. But the story will be told in its general sense and supported by the research. What else has been happening here? Well, my health. Yeah. I feel a lot better. I want to let some people know that this is how powerful networking with people can be. Back in January, February, March of last year, I barely could get up. I was so tired all the time. Things were really not going well for me. And some suggestions were made that I was reluctant to bother with. I was taking medication from my French doctors and just feeling awful. I mean, I got to tell you, I felt so bad. I didn't think I was going to last a couple of years more. I just was terrible. I started taking three things. Thing called alpha-lipoic acid, some chlorella, and some milk thistle. All three of them over-the-counter items. And switched away from certain types of foods. And I tell you, within 2 weeks, I started feeling a change. Within a month, it was remarkable. And now 5 or 6 months later, I have a life back. It's just been the most amazing thing. So this came from you. This is the power of people being able to share information with each other and then having people take seriously the things that people share with them. I mean, look into things that are said to you. Do your due diligence. Give the information a try and see if it doesn't fit for you, because this certainly did for me. And I don't know how many of you out there, I hope it's still quite a few, I remember back at that time. It was a tough period for me. And now, again, I still don't feel tip-top. That'll never change. But the difference between how I was and how I am today is just remarkable. And I have information from my listeners to thank for that. So thank you all. As far as the things we're doing on the French Connections work here, well, we're hoping to put together a new radio system here, one that can be formatted into shoutcast and to regular podcasting situations and even possibly get picked up by radio stations, because this information is clearly serious stuff, very important, and anybody out there interested in the truth is going to want to put some of this information up. And so we're doing that. Of course, it's a tough slog with limited funds. We try to use what we've already got. Certainly, it's going to be a tough row to hoe. We never have much here. I don't have a job. I don't have one. I'm doing this to try to help put punctuation on all of these facts. Don't have a staff, except for people who volunteer. And we do get help. You guys do send some in. It's not a lot of money. And I promise you that the accounting for what comes in to help pay the phone bills and whatnot is a very small sum. But it helps us offset these prices. And we're grateful for it. I'm grateful. My webmaster, as you can write webmaster at iamthewitness.com, will get our information. He is grateful. because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, it is that financial help that will help us buy the equipment to expand. Right now, we've hopefully saved up enough for another recorder, because we lost the last one. It went with the old format. Now we have to go with this new one, and we're going to try putting together a different system here, just a chance that to do this in a different way. Anyway, I hope today was useful. We are going to have guests interspersed between these discussions on history. I do want you to keep a very close eye on the finances. This is going to be a week of financial nightmares, worse than last week, worse than the week before. The unfolding of this financial mess is really just beginning to take shape. And as I told you in the last file and many others, it is that financial implosion that is going to be the precursor to the rest of the nonsense that we all experience. So keep an eye on it, please. I will give you updates on it. We're certain to see new things coming out tomorrow.